So this morning, I would love to just share a little bit about a subject that I think is either grossly misunderstood or never taught in the church. And it's the subject of humility, to be humble, and really what it means. So I just really want to unpack that this morning and look at the scriptures, because the scriptures are full of this thing of humility, and it runs throughout the scriptures. And I want us to quickly turn in our Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 10. And that will be the verse that we will look at this morning. There we go, humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Can you see that that is a promise? That's a promise that we have there. What's the promise? That God will exalt us. But it's a promise with a condition. Can you see that? Can you guys see? That's a promise, but there's a condition to this promise. You need to do something to get the promise of exaltation. You need to humble yourself. And then God will. Okay. So let's look at how actually practically this works. Let's look at a tree. Let's look at a tree maybe as an example in our lives. Is sometimes the tree must strike its roots downward before it can actually grow upwards. And it's the way of the kingdom. It's always been the way of the kingdom to go down, to go up. There's no such a thing as climbing the little corporate ladder in church and I've come in and now I'm a community leader. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I become a deacon, yes, because I've been good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed with heaven's best. And then if I'm very good, I become an elder in the life of the church. It's not the way of the King. In actual fact, every time that you think in your mind that's a way climbing up, that's actually going down. Paul says, I am the bottom of the barrel. I am the servant. Jesus says, I am the servant of all. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Peter says, at the one point, Jesus is washing their feet. Peter says, far be it from you, Lord, that you wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. He says, you don't know what you're talking about, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Because I came to serve. It's the way of the King. It's the way of the kingdom. Mary is a very good illustration that we get in Luke, if we can just put that up there. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary said, I'm your servant. Have your way, God. Have your way in my life. Have your way. James starts the book of James. James chapter 1 verse 1, look at this. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Greetings. We love titles in the church. Apostle, bishop, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, doctor, apostle. Combinations thereof, they are great. They sound fantastic. But if Dr. Apostle so and so is not a servant, then he is missing the point. If apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, deacon, elder, whatever, if he's not a servant of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're missing the point, friends. Because the tree strikes its roots down before it can grow up. My good friend Will Murray always says, aim high, but stay low. In your life as a Christian, always aim high. Aim high for Jesus, but stay low. In actual fact, I don't think it's even you that can, and I'll talk about it just now. You be made low so that you can be made high. Be made low. Allow the Holy Spirit to work with you to make you low so that you can go high. Allow Him. It's a foundational biblical principle. John the Baptist says that he understood this vital thing in John 3:30. Look at this. This is what John says about Jesus. He says, He, Jesus, must increase. It's exactly what Mandy just said. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. I must decrease in my life. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I usually use it as an example of a jacket. You know, I remember as a little kid, you know, in primary school, my mom would buy me this jacket, you know, and she wants this school jacket to last, most probably from grade 1 to grade 7, you know. But you need to, like, grow into this jacket, you know. The mower is about this long, and you have 16 turnips inside the jacket sleeve. Jacket's hanging down here. But as a kid, you grow up into this jacket. Problem is, with Christianity today, we are so full of ourselves, we're so big, and when we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, some of us need to decrease. We need to shrink to put on the Lord, because we think too much about ourselves. Way too much. Put on the Lord Jesus. John understands this. He says, He must increase and I must decrease. A Presbyterian, before I tell you this Presbyterian, who knows who Hudson Taylor was? Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was, please, if you don't know, go read up on this guy. He was a missionary. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China for 51 years. So this Presbyterian pastor in Australia one day, he is introducing Hudson Taylor, this British missionary to China. And he uses, like, beautiful names, you know, about him. And to just try and describe the many things that Hudson Taylor did. Hudson Taylor stepped into the pulpit and quietly said, Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master. Dear friends, I am the little servant of a big master. That's who I am. That's who I am. I am Stefan, a humble servant of Jesus. I don't want to be known as the bearded pastor. I don't want to be known as the tattooed pastor. I don't want to be known as the pastor with the English wife and the two black kids. I don't want to be known by any of those names. I want to be known as the humble servant. That's all. What is the welcoming that you want to hear one day when you enter into heaven? Welcome, good and faithful dad. Welcome, good and faithful principal of the school. Welcome, good and faithful, I'm looking at dentist. Welcome, good and faithful. No. Welcome, good and faithful servant. Those are the words that each one of us want to hear when we enter into heaven. When Jesus stands there and the 24 elders and everybody is there and they're actually saying, Welcome, come inside. You serve the King. You serve the King of Kings. Welcome. So let's look at this word. And it's the Greek word tapenio. And it means tapenios. It means to level. Now I went to look up what this word means in the dictionary. The word humble or humility. It means the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. When you have a low view of your own importance. That's what humility is. So let's look at the Greek in this context of James chapter 4. If we can put that up there quickly. James chapter 4, humble yourself. So this word, in that context, this is what it means. To level, to cause something to be lower or to make low. It means to bow down, to make low, to humble. And in the figurative, in most New Testament cases, it means to cause someone, to cause figuratively, to cause someone to lose prestige. The world tells us to gain prestige. The Bible tells us to lose prestige. To reduce, listen to this, to a condition or lower rank, to abase. I mean, that's exactly what Hudson Taylor did. This great British man going to 51 years, laying down his life. It means to be ranked below others. That's what it means. Are you willing to be ranked below others? Not by your status, not by your bank account, not by anything. But you choose to say, Lord, I will be ranked lower than everybody else. That's what this word means. This word here, humble yourself, is written as a command in general, which calls for your full attention and immediate obedience. It's not a suggestion. The way that it was written in the original Greek, right there as you read it, it means do it now. Don't wait. Oh Lord, I just need to sort things out. No, he says, humble yourselves. It's not a suggestion. When I tell my kids to go and clean their room, it's not a suggestion. I'm beyond suggestions now. I'm at a point of, you need to go and do it now. It's a fire hazard in there, man. Go do it now. It calls for being willing to accept this attitude. James is actually commanding his readers to submit voluntarily. Submit voluntarily that they might be made low. It also indicates something, this verb here, it also indicates that the subject acting upon the individual is an outside force. You cannot humble yourself. Flesh can never humble flesh. But it reads there like humble yourselves before the Lord. I'm going to show you that you cannot even humble yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to help you in this area. You need the Holy Spirit to humble you. It's an outside force. I cannot make a decision. I never want to be humbled. My flesh is not tuned into that. But the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, that you need to walk by the Spirit daily. Do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's the one that will help you. So it's an outside force. How good is our God? People, how good is our God? He tells you to do something, and he says, I'm commanding you to do it, but you can't do it. I will help you. You need me. Okay? I need to humble myself to understand that I need to humble myself. No, basically, yes. God is so good. It's a work of grace. In actual fact, what you need to do is you need to permit yourself to be humbled. That's what you need to do. Permit yourself. God, I permit myself that you humble me. That's what you do. You see, the gravity of grace always flows from the higher to the lower. It never goes from the lower to the higher. The gravity of grace. Grace always comes from the Father. Grace always comes from God. He shows us grace. You may be asking yourself, how can I humble myself? My flesh is fighting with humility. And to the contrary, I constantly seek recognition. Constantly. I want to be known. I want you to know me. I want you to acknowledge me. I get offended when you don't greet me and pick and pay. Oh, I just need your acknowledgement. You know, you need nothing from man. You need everything from God. You need nothing from man. If man never acknowledges you for the rest of your life, God's acknowledgement should be enough for you. But we want the recognition. We want to be known. We want to write books. We want to call it Every Day is Friday. I'm sorry if you've got that book on your rack. But every day is not Friday. There are days that it's going to be tougher than other days. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to embrace the gospel of Jesus. Just tell me that I'm going to be okay. The problem is with theology that I have with some theologies like that is this whole thing of, oh, just let go and let God. It's most probably one of the most unscriptural things I've ever heard in my entire life. Almost as bad as Boney M. theology. Because of Christmas Day, man will live forevermore. That's the worst theology I've ever heard in my entire life. Just because Jesus was born, you're not going to live forevermore. You need to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Then you will live forevermore. It's bad theology. But this whole thing of trust God and let go and let God. Let go and let God. It's bad. Because all it implies is apathy. Nog 'n bietjie slymer, nog 'n bietjie slaap, nog 'n bietjie handjies vou. You know, Jesus is going to do it all for me. I'm on the glory train, op die soustrein. Ek gaan hemel toe. I'm okay. No, you're not. Because there's something about your faith that is active. There's something about your faith that is now. You need to step up by faith. You need to trust God and you need to get going. Problem is, we don't want to step out by faith. What if I make a mistake? What if you make a mistake? What if Peter said that words? What if this, I'm going to sink. The 11 is sitting in that boat looking at him and pointing fingers. And they're looking over their pointy fingers at him and say, you're going to fail, Peter. Peter's like, Jesus, can I get out of this boat? Yes, Peter, come. What did Peter step out on? It's a metaphysical improbability to walk on water, people. You cannot walk on water. Peter gets out of the boat. What did he step on? The word of God. That's solid. He steps out by faith out of the boat. And he starts walking towards Jesus. And all we see is, oh, he failed. Yes, he did fail. But don't you see the second part of that scripture? That how gloriously Jesus puts out his hand, rescues him, says, let's walk back to the boat. Let's go. Suckers, all of you that were sitting in the boat, you're like all losers, buddies. Come on, I'm walking back with Jesus. Come on. That is the life of faith with Jesus. That is the life of faith. I'm enjoying myself right now. My wife says, I've got this little leg kick that I in Wincy when I get like a little dog that's going, yes, yes, yes. That's right. Segi calls it all cylinders. All cylinders. You cannot humble yourself. The flesh is not able to humble the flesh. But you do have the indwelling spirit that energizes you, that new man, a desire to humble yourself. And along with the desire, it provides the supernatural power enabling you to obey the command. But you need to trust God and get going. Personal decision to allow yourself to be humbled. Must be that. Must be that. Let's look at this Philippians. You can put it in the sequence of it, both verses, if you want to. Full. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's something that we need to do. But there's this promise that God, I can't work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in me both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We need to read this scripture in context and say, Lord, I need to allow you to work and to will, to do according to your good pleasure in my life. Archibald Alexander once said, humility is to the Christian that a ballast is to a ship. Okay, so who knows what is a ballast of a ship? Hey? No. What's a ballast? Say phones. Okay, there's actually, in some boats, they have a vacuum. What do you want to say? Nothing. Nothing. It's the stabilizer of the boat. So there's this vacuum in the bottom that they actually fill with water in the bottom of the boat that stabilizes this boat. And humility is that thing that stabilizes you as a Christian in your life. When you talk to people, when you minister to people, when you worship, that is the stabilizing factor in our lives constantly. It keeps us in our proper position and regulates all of our thoughts and our feelings. Because we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have these things that's in tension with one another, but humility will always keep us on course. Charles Spurgeon said, let us be humble that we may not need to be humbled, but may be exalted by the grace of God. So why do you think is it difficult to submit to God and humble yourself? I just want to mention four things, and then I'm going to read you a song in prayer, really. Why is it so difficult to submit? I want to say that society, culture, the cultural values around us teach us for self-reliance and independence. It's a strong cultural value today. Wanneer jy 21 is, staan jy op jou eie bene. Yeah. Maak jou eie paadjie, kap jou eie paadjie. En vir niemand luister nie, doen net jou eie ding. Hey, who's heard that? Maar wanneer jy 21 is, jy's nog nie 'n groot mens nie. Jy's nog in my huis. I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world. Hey, who's heard that? I've heard that one before. Thing is that this is the culture that we live in. Independence, doing my own thing, my self-reliance. God's given me a brain so I can think for myself. We're teaching it in our schools, we're teaching it in our kids. We see it everywhere. It's a cultural thing. But we also see it through advertising. If you just look around, you'll see it. The systems of advertising and entertainment promoting self-reliance and independence. It's not the way of the kingdom. It's never been the way of the kingdom. God never intended that you be on your own. It's not good for man to be alone. One of the first things written in Genesis. Yes, I know he talked about a woman for the husband, but it's not good for Christians to be alone. A man that isolates himself, the Bible says, seeks his own desire. He's selfish. Christianity was not meant to be lived in solitude. Christianity is always meant to be a unity, a common unity, community. Blessed is the man that dwells in unity. Because there God commands a blessing, life forevermore. Unity is God's idea. My friends, deal with your offenses on this side of eternity, because you're most probably going to see that person in heaven one day. The same people that was killed by Paul were the same people that applauded him when he walked into heaven. The same people. Deal with it, my friends. This third thing is humility is a trait that's discouraged and ridiculed in the media. Greek thinking and secular Greek thinking. Listen to this. The person who was humbled, he was one that was a base person. He was ignoble, of low birth. That's how the Greeks saw it. And that's the thinking that we are actually being bombarded with in society today. He was a person held of low esteem. Jesus, obviously, he was the supreme example of humility. It's Greek thinking. It's ridiculed by the media. The Greeks would ridicule you if you were humble. They would laugh at you. Say, you're of low birth. And then lastly, all of this reinforces our natural tendency towards selfishness. All of these things. Society, advertising, all of these things, media. Which means I've got to be proud. I've got to be proud. Proud about what? Proud about what? Proud that you're a sinner? Proud that you were the cause that Jesus died on the cross? Proud about what? Proud about my pedigree. You were born into sin. You're depraved. It's totally depraved. You're not half, I'm kind of nice. No, you're a sinner. And while you were a sinner, Jesus died on the cross for you. Perhaps you're going through a season right now of humbling. Maybe you're going through a season. I'm definitely going through a season of humbling. Maybe you can identify with some of these things. So I would love you to close your eyes quickly, and I want to read a song by Robin Mark called All Is Well. And I want to almost pray this over each one of us that's going through a tough time. It's being humbled. Robin Mark says, all is well. He lowers us to raise us so we can sing his praises. Whatever is his way, all is well. He makes us rich and poor that we might trust him more. Whatever his way, all is well. All my changes come from him, he who never changes. I am held firm in the grasp of the rock of all ages. All is well with my soul. He is God in control. I know not all his plans, but I know I'm in his hands. He clothes us now, then strips us. Yet with his word, equips us. Whatever is his way, all is well. And though our seasons change, we still exalt his name. Whatever is his way, all is well.